All right, this is Sherry Baldwin of Think Health Incorporated, Health and Wellness Coaching, and I'm here talking with Barb Jeffers, who is Executive Director of Kane County Public Health Department. And we're just here, she's going to be telling us a little bit about public health and what she does. And of course, you know, I've been talking mostly about health and trying to keep, you know, individuals and healthy. And public health has just a larger component about that. It's kind of, you know, with the masses trying to reach more people. So I just want to give you a little bit of background about Barb. Her and I went to graduate school at Northern Illinois University. And so we spent many hours together. And so I thought she would be a great person to be able to talk with. And there she is. Here's Barb.
Thank you, Sherry.
So, Barb, tell us a little bit about public health and what it is, kind of like basically what you do.
Well, Sherry, a definition that's often used is public health is the science of protecting and improving the health of communities through education, promotion of healthy lifestyles, and the research for disease, injury, and prevention. But a more commonplace definition is, if you look at it just from a layman's term, public health is population health. And you may ask, what is population health? Well, when an individual goes to see their healthcare professional, they're going to find out what's going on with them relative to their health. And the healthcare professional looks at them as an individual and determine what is going on with that individual. Well, public health doesn't look at individuals. They look at the population, which is why we are termed population health. They look at injury or disease or lifestyle changes that impact the health of the public. Case in point, we look at things such as how does flu impact a community, not how does flu impact an individual. How does it impact the community? We look at our environment. How does the environment impact the community, such as if we have pollution? We don't look at pollution as individuals. We look at how does pollution impact the whole community? When you look at things such as diseases that have been eradicated by public health, such as polio, we didn't look at individuals as polio. We look at how does polio impact an individual? That is the role of public health, to look at communities, and we look at it through prevention, we look at it through education, and we look at going into the various sectors of the community to use the resources of the community to either get the word out in terms of education and prevention. We use the assistance and partner with our community leaders in the health-related communities, such as your hospitals, your doctors. We go into the schools, we work with them because education is pivotal in treating a community and preventing disease and injury. We also are currently looking at working with our transportation and development communities. If you look at the community as a whole, we don't look at public health in a bubble. We look at it holistically. So in our communities, we look at the design of communities. So if you take communities who are poorly designed, where there are no sidewalks, or where people have to get in their cars, that impacts your health as a community. When we have buses that are having fumes or emissions that are in the community, we look at that. That's a transportation issue. So population health is something that in public health we look at. We look at what is impacting our population or our community as a whole, and those are the things we concentrate on.
And as far as like the transportation, you know, we know that obesity is a big influencer as far as with chronic disease. Is there anything that in King County, what are they doing like right now as far as, are they having more
transportation buses, or are they developing more bike paths, or what kind of things do communities work with, I mean, is right now?
Well, in King County, we're fortunate to be very rich in resources relative to bike paths. When bike paths were first introduced in our community, unfortunately, there were a lot of community members who had to take their bikes and put them on their cars and drive to the bike path, which really kind of defeats the purpose of health and wellness. So as a result of development, transportation, and health communities partnering to look at the impact of health when you develop communities with transport and transportation, they're connecting more and more bike paths so that community members can get on their bikes from their homes and go straight to those communities. They're taking those bike paths and connecting them so they are continuous throughout the community. Another thing that impacts transportation relative to health, I'm not really sure if you are familiar with the Pace Bus that goes up and down the Randall Corridor.
Yes.
Well, if you have noticed in the last few years, the transportation department has put shelters over the bus stops, because in the past the bus stops were just there.
It was open.
Right. And
unsafe,
where that was a public health issue, right, it was a risk. There were risk factors to the individual's safety.
Mm-hmm.
And with that in mind, where there was no place to stand, I'm sure that reduced ridership. So by putting a safe place for an individual to stand to wait for the bus really has impacted the ridership. I don't know statistically if the ridership has significantly increased, but I'm sure people who ride the bus are more inclined now to ride the bus and feel a lot safer have their own safety and concern when they ride the bus now because of that. And those things came about because of the dialogue that now is currently going on through health, transportation, and development.
Well, you know, it's like in Chicago, I don't know if you've seen those bikes that they rent. I know in Denver they have that also. And I was thinking, you know, that would be kind of really nice even to have it in the suburbs. You know, it's usually everybody has their own bikes, but there are a lot of people that don't have bikes. I was just wondering if you ever thought about that in County or other counties that are in the suburbs?
Well, there may be some discussions within the community that's going on about that. I, in particular, don't have any knowledge of any discussions going on. Yes, it is a great idea. Mm-hmm. But as in any community, every community can't focus on all of the things at the same time. Our community is focusing on, when we talk about a reduction in obesity and overweight, we're focusing on getting access to good, nutritious food to our community. And as a result of that, in Kane County, we have over 1,700 community gardens within our community, from the northern part of King County to the southern part of King County. And what that has done is allowed individuals to have access to nutritious food at a very low cost. In public health, the health department has on Highland Avenue in Aurora offers garden plots for just $5. That's significantly inexpensive for a person to have the opportunity to grow their own fresh fruits and vegetables, because a lot of individuals who don't have access to nutritious food live in apartments where they don't have the opportunity to garden. They don't have the ability to have property where they can garden. And then sometimes where they live, maybe it's not environmentally safe, the soil. So throughout the entire King County, many of the municipalities have taken on themselves, Aurora, and in addition to Eldon and in between, to offer community gardens to their residents so that they can have access to nutritious fruit and vegetables, which I think is huge. Another thing King County is working on in terms of reducing obesity is looking at working with the Northern Illinois Food Bank. They serve 13 counties, and Kane is just one of the counties that happens to be in the Northern Illinois Food Bank. One of the things we're working with them on is a bill, ordinance passed in Kane County, where we're going to protect small farms. We hope to have small farms began to produce locally grown fresh fruits and vegetables. And that way, one of the partners will be Northern Illinois Food Bank, who will be purchasing once these farms get going. And in turn, if they purchase the food from locally grown farmers, first of all, the food doesn't have to travel very far, and so it'll be more nutritious. Because a lot of our fruits and vegetables are grown and genetically altered for shelf life, and that's where you get that not so good taste in the fruits and vegetables. Your fresh fruits and vegetables may sit on a truck or in a refrigerated container for a couple of months, and if you pluck one off in a tree, it wouldn't last that long. And so that's what we're hoping, that our small farmers are able to produce locally grown fruits and vegetables that stay in our community and not have to be transported.
Because it does taste better. Anything that you buy right away and you eat it that night for dinner, it tastes better than if you keep it in your refrigerator for like 3 or 4 days.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so that's our goal, to keep fresh fruits and vegetables locally grown and have our community have access to those locally grown fruits and vegetables. So that's some of the things that we are engaged in King County in terms of combating fresh fruits and vegetables. And there's another program that's called Fit for Kids that King County is part of, King County Health Department in particular. It's a consortium made up of community leaders and King County and other county departments, where we look at supporting the community and how to address obesity. And what it does, gives out small grants to help support the community addressing obesity. And one of the things that was unique about one of the grantees was a school in Batavia. It was in Geneva, as a result of the support of the funding, was able to create a curriculum for indoor recess. Because as you know, in this area,
it gets cold.
And it's cold a long time.
It was really cold this winter.
And so if you recognize how long children are in school and aren't able to access outdoor recess, and you know, we don't have state statute any longer that require kids to have a gym 5 days a week. So you know children are inside, restless, and not getting much exercise. And so as a result of the support from Fit for Kids, this school was able to create a curriculum that allowed in their classroom indoor recess that gave kids an opportunity to move and do movements, physical activities that were fun. Mm-hmm. And the teachers report, it energized the kids and it stopped some of the restlessness and behaviors that come along with kids who are bored and aren't able to get outside. Because if you know anything about children, they need to expend energy. Unlike adults, it's not really good or healthy for anyone actually to sit all day. Mm-hmm. So we don't have bikes, but we are doing a lot of things in the community to look at how do we address obesity as a community.
And those are really the biggies. Physical activity, we just discussed about that with the bikes and the buses and the recess, and then also the foods that we are eating, the nutritious foods, and we're covering with the gardens, and everybody. I know a lot of friends of mine have been, have plots that they're doing their own gardening that's not in their backyard, because their backyards might be wooded areas.
Exactly.
You know, they don't have the sunshine. They don't have, to grow. So they go ahead and, they get these plots. And it's really been really successful, definitely successful.
Yes, it has. And so the good thing about public health and anything with wellness, there's more than one way to address the issue. And so Chicago may be addressing it with the bikes. We're addressing it in different ways. And the most important thing is that we're all as a community addressing the issues. Because if we don't address the issues, it will have a negative impact on our mortality for our generations to come. the rate we're going, because overweight and obesity, as you know, Sherry, does cause a lot of chronic disease, such as heart disease, hypertension, diabetes, and those are known to shorten a person's life. And so we start early and we try to impress upon our youth and our adults the importance of a healthy lifestyle. And a healthy lifestyle is not limited to diet and nutrition, but it's limited to your entire life as your entire holistically your life. So we look at the risk factors that impact your quality of life. Smoking, that has nothing to do with nutrition or exercise, but it will impact your quality of your life. So we look at in public health doing interventions that introduce the prevention or reduction of smoking, because as we all know, tobacco is the leading cause of lung cancer, and lung cancer does shorten your life. And so we look at those things. As I talked earlier, we looked at working with transportation and development. Those things impact your life. If you live in an environmentally unsafe area, that will shorten your life. That impacts your life. So if you live somewhere that the air that you breathe or the water that you drink is not well, then that will impact your life. So when we look at reducing obesity in our community, we can't limit it to nutritious food and exercise. We really have to limit it, look at all the other factors that contribute to a quality of life as education. If we don't have good schools that give education, that makes education a priority, good education, when a person grows up, they won't have the ability to make good decisions on their health, such as doing what are the risk factors and engaging in high-risk behaviors. The other issue is economics. Economics impacts the quality of your life. If you don't have a job, you will not have access to nutritious food or good housing. So when we talk about obesity and wellness, we can't limit it to a couple of factors that contributed to it, because when you look at it in isolation, that's where the lack of success will come. So if we want to be successful, we have to look at it in a holistic format, and you have to look at all the factors that contribute to a quality of life, and wellness is just part of it when you talk about nutrition and exercise and nutrition. So you have to look at education, you have to look at your environment, you have to look at the economics. Are you employed? In addition to your nutrition and your exercise.
Because we know too, you know, people don't have the amount of the money. They won't go for those, you know, fast food restaurants that offer a very inexpensive food but just no nutrition to it.
Exactly. So if you're below the poverty line but you work every day, well, you don't have the opportunity to buy nutritious food. So you will, for your family, what you're going to do is buy what you can afford. And the studies have shown the food that are the least inexpensive are the least nutritious. So that contributes to a lot of the problems that we're seeing in terms of potentially not just obesity, but other kind of things that impact your health negatively. So that's why economics does play a part into this. Your employment status plays a part of this. Your education plays a part of this. And, you know, and if you have to drop out of school to support your family, that plays a part. That's your education. You have just foregone an education to really educate yourselves on just the whole quality of life. And knowing what risk factors are for prevention, such as what to eat to prevent diabetes, heart disease, those kinds of things. So that's why it's really critical that as a community, we collaborate to demonstrate to our community what it takes to really make a wonderful place in Kane County to live, work, and play. And it can't be in a vacuum of just looking at, well, obesity is just people eat too much or they need to exercise. But it's a lot much broader than that.
And definitely public health is the collaboration between you know, you're talking with the public health, but you also, you know, lean on the hospitals, try to, you know, work with those, you know, managers and just, you know, the whole thing, you know, community resources that they offer and help too. So,
well, we're rich in this community. We have 5 hospitals that serve over 500,000 people. And I will say we are very fortunate in Kane County to have the support of and the opportunity to collaborate with all of our hospitals. We have Cadence, we have Advocate, we have Presence, we have Rush Copley. So I feel like we're very fortunate that we are able to collaborate with our hospitals. This last iteration of community health assessment, we were able to collaborate with our hospitals, our United Way, and our 708 board, which is the Inc. board. So, and without the collaboration, we would not really be addressing these things collaboratively or collectively. And I think in order to be successful, we really all need to be at the table to identify the issues and then address them collectively. And I think we'll have a greater impact and outcomes.
Yes. That Barb, I do. So, but I just wanted to have, you know, people to just be aware of what public health is, and you know, we're just, a lot of people don't understand it. You know, it's something that's not thought of. The only time is if you people were like volunteering and helping out in different agencies. You know, there's a lot of volunteers too that work together. So, but this was a great awareness of our community. To know that, yes, this is what Kane County's doing, but there's a lot of counties in different states, and they're all doing the same thing, and, you know, just truly trying to have that health population health, you know, better people, you know, living but longer and having quality of life. So anyway, Barb, I appreciate spending this time with you. So anyway, our next podcast will be looking at negative behaviors that can be impacting our chronic diseases. And then, so anyway, tune in for our next show, and we will continue to explore and learn how to live healthier lives.